wire missing, that creaked on its hinges as the dry wind blew down the hill across the wheat. The house was as bleached and dust-coated as the fields beyond, a washed-out ochre palette. Lily glanced over to the dray, held up on the low bough of the gum tree. After 13 years of marriage, these were the sum effects. 4 tea chests, stuffed with her mother's linens and remnants of a Royal Dalton dinner setting, 2 iron bedsteads, the easy chair with its worn grey tapestry, the pine kitchen table, iron pots and kettles, yards of canvas, and the upright piano. Her Singer sewing machine gone. The argument they'd had over that still twisted in her stomach. She couldn't leave behind all that weighed on her spirit, as burdened as the dray. But this move would make it harder for her to be found. Lily took a deep breath and walked through the front door. She checked each room, surveying the wooden floors of the bedrooms, picking up Gurley's cardigan and a book left face down. There was little else to pack other than the bedding they would sleep on tonight, and a few odds and ends. In the sitting room was an open tea chest, half filled with their essentials for the new life in Dongara. A shirt for Ernie, a clean dress for Gurley. Besides her crepe wedding gown, which she kept good for socials, Lily had 2 dresses. All the others had been patched and mended until there was no more fabric left in their seams. She shoved Gurley's book down the side of the chest, tapping her fingernails on the metal of the old Arnott's tin. Inside, beneath the twists of embroidery threads, lay her savings of nearly £80, and the photograph that kept her moving forward. She flicked a glance over her shoulder, then unfolded Pa's greatcoat to take with them on the dray. With her knife, she went out to the vegetable plot in the backyard to tear at the tangled vine, grasped shriveled pumpkins, half-grown and gnawed at by rats, and discarded them among the bolting cabbages. She spat on the greenish stain crossing her palm, wiping it dry in her apron as she gazed to the far reaches of the yard, across the geraniums and Michaelmas daisies to the scrubby patch of grass. She hadn't finished. The yard had all been sand when they'd arrived here at Cowan Up Downs 6 years ago. The farm, a 2-day journey north from Perth by train and dray, and untended by civilization apart from the newly constructed weatherboard house. The town itself had only been gazetted 10 years before, in 1916. She'd brought a geranium cutting with her. Once she'd organized the domestic servant to ready the house fit for habitation and instructed the cook on Ernie's favorite meals, she turned the first sod of the flower garden directly off the left side veranda, so the heady rose scent of the geraniums would one day waft through the children's bedroom windows. Since then, the garden had wrapped around the back of the house. A wicker chair had once nestled in the shady corner between the steps and the veranda rail, a cool spot where she'd sipped tea and gazed across the flowers to the vegetable plot. Every aspect designed for colour, throwing into relief the drabness of the house and surrounding fields. The ladies in the Country Women's Association had once said it was the prettiest garden in all of Perenjori. She crushed a geranium leaf, releasing the scent before dropping it to the ground. The sheer waste of it. The countless hours digging, tilling, planting and pruning. To walk away. The iron garden gate squealed, a clang of metal. Ern? She wandered round the corner of the house. He was tying the rabbit traps to the side of the dray, his singlet flung over his bare shoulder like a rag. Dried blood crusted his knuckles and dirt etched the lines in his face as he grimaced.
"There's no room for the wire netting," he said without looking up. "I'll have to leave it."
"Did you stow the guns?" Ernie's rifles each had their own wooden box. He'd been an amateur marksman before the Great War. He gestured towards the bench seat at the front of the dray.
"The 22's under the seat," sold the others to Dylan.
He turned his head away from her, knotting and re-knotting a rope on the dray. The muscles in his neck worked as he swallowed hard. It was like words were stuck there, but he wouldn't say them. Not to her, anyway. She imagined he might have talked about abandoning the farm with the other blokes at the pub in Perenjori, or further away where he'd started to drink in the past year.